I had to find my record button again. I lost it.
You look for an hour, you think you left it last.
Ah, it's always in the last place you look, you know, because that's when you found it and you don't have to look anymore, so it's the last place you look. That's why it's always,
Oh
that's
my
why people say that, because it's the last place you look.
God.
And because you're looking, and then it's the last place you have to look because you found the thing, and as you don't have to look for it anymore.
I think I just had a stroke.
What the f*** is going on down there?
Seth!
Chris!
We're recording a podcast!
Oh, I broke kayfabe and referred to you by your real name.
Oh, no!
Oh, no!
Seth, is it an Emergency Tuesday podcast?
No.
That's right.
It's a regular ass Friday.
Regular ass Friday podcast here on WTF and TFW!
Yay!
Oh, man! How you doing?
I'm recording from my new base of operations.
Yeah, it's all furniture's there?
Yeah, the furniture arrived today. I haven't gotten to enjoy the furniture because I had to rush home, grab stuff, and then go back downstairs to Alpha Command Base Bravo, where I will be recording from here on out. And all the furniture is on floor 2.
Hmm.
Except for the bed, which came last weekend. Last weekend? Or the weekend before? I don't remember, but that is on floor 3.
So you got all your stuff in without incident?
No, not even close. We got to get my girlfriend's stuff out this weekend, like what she has left. I haven't been at her place since last weekend, and she's been like going over after work and packing up stuff, so I don't know exactly how much is left. But we got a lot of work to do. And the vast majority of my toy collection and a lot of mess is still at my dad's. So that's going to be a while to get all that organized and over.
You just need you some stackable storage containers.
Yes.
Those are delightful. Especially if you can get an awesome little, like, I don't know... I like stackable storage containers, and I like them even more when I have an awesome, like, doored closet I can put them in.
Uh-huh.
So I can seal them away and then open up the seal to look at my glorious stackable storage containers.
Well, they'd probably end up stacked up in the garage. We also got some shelves at Costco, like heavy-duty plastic kind of shelving.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to put those up in the garage and stack boxes onto those and... There is a mandate to keep the living room area clutter-free,
right,
more than anywhere else in the house. And then attempt to keep, like, everywhere kind of clutter-free, but...
So just dump stuff everywhere.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, that means, you know, my girlfriend's stuff, like your little fairy statues and candles, those can go everywhere. That's not clutter. My stuff is clutter.
I like how the first descriptor was fairy statues. That's
yeah,
wonderful. Well,
she has those.
Well,
then we just have to keep the roommate contained to his area.
Sector. Well, we'll be talking a little bit more about Magic the Gathering later on in our brand new segment we're starting up here. But
yeah,
I've been having a bit of a weird week, so I'm using this podcast as a shot in the arm of absolute performance adrenaline, baby. I'm back. Hi.
Hi.
So before we start, I got like...
Do you want to talk about your weird week or...
Nah, it's nothing that's very entertaining.
No, it's just... You're just going to be vague.
Yeah, it's spirit animals and
spirit animals.
Walkabouts and...
Spirit animals.
The secrets of the universe.
Like a duck.
That's right.
Did I ever tell you about that dude when I was in high school?
But... You knew a guy whose spirit animal was a duck?
Yeah, it was a duck.
What?
Like, we were sitting in art class, and, like, he's drawn.
Yeah.
And, like, it wasn't what we were supposed to be doing, but he had this piece of paper out he's drawn. And it's, like, all these, like, psychedelic swirls and stuff. And in the middle, is just like a very simple outline of a duck, and then like all the swirls and craziness is coming off out from just the outline, like with no detail, just like a blank silhouette, like a negative space silhouette of a duck. And I'm like, what's that? And he goes, it's my spirit animal. I'm like, what is it? He goes, it's a duck. And I'm drawing what I saw when it came to me. I said, how did your spirit animal, you should turn that in and get something cooler, like a coyote. And he goes, you don't choose your spirit animal. It chooses you. It comes to you in a vision. I'm like, okay, I got to find out where did this vision take place?
What gave him a vision of a duck?
Right. He goes, well, I was at Lucchese Park during the weekend and I took some acid and then it appeared before me, the duck. Now, here's the thing about Lucchese Park.
Yeah.
It's swarming with ducks. Like, there's nothing but ducks and geese at that place.
So you might have just blinked and then...
Yeah. 50% chance his spirit animal was going to either end up a duck or a goose. And then, like, maybe a 1% chance he would have saw one of the turtles that live in the pond poke its face out. But that's very rare.
Turtle spirit animal is proper. That actually sounds... like the thing about a duck, right? What do you have? It's loud and it has some really, like, deceptively sharp teeth.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah. So... I'm like, really? There's, wow, what were the odds that a vision of a duck would appear before you while you were tripping on acid at a park full of ducks?
I have a terrible question to ask.
Okay.
In regards to, was his name Donald?
No.
Okay, I just had to get that out of the way.
I think it was Mike?
Mikey the Duck!
I don't remember.
Mikey the Duck Man.
I'm pretty sure his name started with an M.
Well, I got private messages and a tweet and stuff about a thing that I wanted to ask you about so we can actually make it a discussion point here. There's a couple thousand people who are interested, and a couple of IDW artists and freelance artists have expressed interest in this as well. And it's, I'll get it out of the way, it is a petition on change.org, which does get some people to roll their eyes. Yeah, so the idea of this petition is, what if IDW, assuming they have, you know, the staff and resources to do it, just start doing a comic book that, you know, is not heavy, it's not stuck in with all their continuity, it's just, we're going to write a bunch of stories that take place in 80s Transformers. An easy example being that Mars Attacks one-shot comic they did, where it was basically a caricature of the 80s Transformers having this really fun adventure with the Mars Attacks aliens attacking some city they were in. It was a really fun comic, and if that is the spirit that this petition is talking about, that's interesting. But, Casey Collar was interested. I know Josh Perez was all up in this. I think Josh Bertram said something. Jean-Paul Bove said some stuff about this, so I don't know. It was waved at my face many times. And it seems like a harmless idea. Like, the way I parse it is, like, this could be cool if it was done as, like, you know, a continuity-less sort of zine-style monthly or bi-monthly story that's just, you know, pure fun for everyone involved. But I don't know. How do you feel about it, Seth?
I mean, if it's something, you know, creative types want to work on and there's enough people that want to read it to warrant making it, then I don't have any beef with it. But, I'm not like hearing this and being like, oh my God, I want that so bad. Mostly yeah. Because I don't read the comics, but
in my case, I just,
it could be fun.
Yeah. I think that if it was just done like every now and then, not monthly, I think it could work. But if this was, you know, a petition saying like, give us a monthly Generation One style comic book, I would say that's not the right course of action to take. Because that will eventually lead to continuities and running storylines, and I think that the attitude of a comic like that, with the other comics already going on as they are right now, it's got to be something like Marvel Adventures, like something that's just like pure classic fun, low stakes fun. Yeah, art. Well,
it could be each issue could even be like some older, like more old timey comics where you would have like two adventures.
Yeah.
In a single issue and just focus on different characters. And I don't know. I don't think it would be that hard to do a comic that doesn't have tons of continuity. in some ways, it almost seems like continuing story arcs and continuity is just a way to keep you coming back every month to buy.
Well, that's what I mean, is like, if it were a monthly thing, I think it eventually, you know, it would feel like it's necessary for it to have an arc to keep people coming, whereas something like the Transformers versus Mars Attack special, I think part of what made it work is it was just one shot of sticky, gooey candy fun, and I feel like I would just want, like, maybe three or four of those a year, as opposed to an attempt to do it monthly.
Yeah, what if it was, like, a double-sized quarterly thing? And there could be 2 to 4 short stories in each one.
Yeah, because if there is one hole right now in the IDW Transformers comics, it's that there isn't really one that's, like, digestibly child-friendly. And I don't mean to say the ones out right now are super mature or gory or horrible or anything. And they're completely child-friendly as well, but I think there's, like, a special kind of comic, which is just, like, you can pick up an issue and read it, and you know what's happening start to front. It's not tying into an ongoing thing, and I don't think IDW needs to have that, but it is something that I don't think they really have going on right now, and it's something that I think would also be a lot easier to tie into books that are packed with toys, but I don't know.
I think it's easier than you're giving them or giving it credit for to not become bogged down in continuity.
Perhaps.
Like, there was very little continuity in G1.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's kind of what I'm sort of focusing on, too. It's like,
just the Autobots and Decepticons are on Earth. Something happens. There's a resolution in that same issue.
Yeah.
Next issue, something else happens.
I should specify, I don't mind, like, a continuity of the universe. Like, you know, characters remembering that stuff happened. Uh-huh. But, I mean, like, storyline-wise, I don't think it should be, like, an ongoing serial of cliffhangers and foreshadowings and things. Yeah.
I just, like, I would question if, like, modern-day comic readers want that, though. Like, I think it's perfectly possible to do, because that's kind of what comics used to be. Mm-hmm. But how many people really want that? Have just one-off issues?
Oh, according to the current stacks, I actually read the wrong one. I read the one on the right, thinking that was signatures done. There are currently 294 supporters, so there are 294 people who would.
294 people who think they want that.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm not against the idea of these sort of petitions, but I, you know, it was brought up enough. I felt like, hey, let's talk about it. But usually, I don't mean to say change.org petitions can't accomplish anything. I've signed my fair share of them.
But in this case, it seems more like a way to, like, let it be known, like,
yeah,
we are people who like this idea more than a petition of, like, we're going to change the government or something like that. Yeah. Then it's like, all right.
Because, yeah, you know, among internet petitions, this is quite reasonable. Like, this isn't like some kind of lunacy. This isn't people saying, you know, give us free toys, or, you know, the ones where it's just like, make us something we want. Like, there's a sense of realism to this. Like, I think this petition didn't even really get going until a couple of artists had, you know, pitched in a little bit of vocal support saying, yeah, that would be cool. So
yeah, it feels more like just a way to catalog a list of people that are all just telling IDW, we like this idea.
Yeah.
Not, you better make this happen or we're mad.
And hey, this is a much, you know, nicer and to the point way of showing something than trying to sift through an internet discussion thread right now.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, if you want to check it out, I hope I remember to put a link. If I don't remember to put a link up, then the folks who have told me about this, you know, if they want to do their due diligence, get into the thread and post a link if I forget to do anything about that. Sorry, I'm distracted. There's little dots on the side of the page I can push to see stuff.
Oh, I noticed those dots.
Anyway.
I thought they were decoration.
No, they're functional. I bet you there's a cascading style sheet involved in here somewhere.
Oh, that's my favorite kind of style sheet.
I know a lot about web pages. Hey, Seth.
Hey,
we talked about this last week with the other two, but we've got some concrete info now. The Hub, is officially rebranding into Discovery Family. And it seems that the only part of this I'm upset about is it doesn't sound like they're keeping the name The Hub for the block that Hasbro is still occupying on the schedule, and I think that's a bit of a shame. That's a good name. But
yeah, like in the past when networks would have like their kids block, it would be like, hey, you're watching the Fox Kid block. Or hey, it's Nick Jr.
YTV was the best. They had insane names for blocks. Like they had The Zone. They had
that's out of control and insanity.
I think they had one called Flux at one point. They had there was some breakfast one I can't remember.
Pedophilia, that was one of them.
Yeah, that's right. It's time for Saturday afternoon pedophilia.
That would actually be insane.
Yeah. But I think it's a bummer that they're not, like, that name is just so snappy. It would be a shame to lose it.
Yeah, I mean, and it wouldn't be weird if they did that. Like, hey, you're watching Discovery Family. This is the Hub block. This is the Hub on Discovery Family. Up next, Little Pound Puppies or whatever.
My Littlest Pound Puppies.
Yeah.
I'd also want them to keep the Hubs just so they can keep having that guy who came up in the end of Prime episodes when it was airing, who'd be like, next time on The Hub. I don't know how much of Prime you saw via TV or TV rips.
Like two episodes.
There was always, whenever they did an advertisement for something coming up next on The Hub, this announcer would always pronounce it, The Hub. Like really drawn out with a big capital O in the middle. It was great.
Yeah, when The Hub launched, it was free for like a month.
Yeah.
And I saw like that first kind of miniseries of Prime. And then it went to, like Aaron was saying last time, how it was part of an expanded cable package. So you had to pay however much extra a month. And then you would get that and a bunch of other channels I couldn't care less about. And it was like, well, I'm not going to pay this much money for a whole bunch of stuff I don't want. Because really, I'd only be watching one show. So just never got it.
That's like the position I'm in right now with that new Sweary game that came out, and it's Xbox One exclusive, and I've seen bits of it, and I really want to play it, but I don't want to buy an Xbox to play it. So that's the bummer of gated content.
You can buy an Xbox to yell at it.
You know what I started doing recently? I've actually started using Siri. Because I got really bored, and I tried dictating a text message through Siri, and it totally worked. So I taught Siri who my family are.
Uh-huh.
And then I asked Siri if it can read my mind, and it said, not yet. And I was like, Siri, you're good people. So I've been using Siri a lot more. So maybe I am now becoming the person who wants to use a Kinect.
Well, when you're in the text thing, you could press the little microphone button and start dictating.
Yeah.
And I've used that a few times and it's worked fine.
I've even gone well next enough. Level. I double tap, Siri turns on, I'm like, text mom. Hi mom, what's up?
And it's I tried that and it wouldn't do it. It wouldn't do it. And I was like, well, screw you then, Siri.
So here's the other thing is from what I've, you know, the couple of people I've talked to who have had their own Siri experiences, my Siri seems to recognize my voice really well. And I don't know, maybe I lucked out. Because I definitely have been having a better Siri experience than some other folks I know.
Oh.
But anyway, just going into the other half of this news, the primetime on the now Discovery Family channel is going to be Discovery-branded stuff, like Africa and
Extreme Engineering. Yeah, it sounds like a lot of shows they've already shown on their other channels.
Yeah. So this is kind of weird because it's going to become part of that Discovery family of channels and whatever. But yeah, all the deets are up if you do want to read the entire press release. It can be a little mind-numbing if you're not very interested in television. But I don't know, Seth, what's your outlook on this whole thing?
Well, all cable channels seem to start with a very specific focus, and then in time they stop being that thing altogether.
Yeah.
Hello, MTV.
Oh, hello, Discovery.
Hello, Discovery Channel, History Channel, AMC.
Showcase, The Learning Channel.
What happened, Cartoon Network? Why are they're living people on when I change the channel.
I've been told that guy's gone, so maybe that'll come to an end sometime. Also.
But yeah, like network, like Spike, like they'll start very well before Spike was Spike. It was the Nashville network.
Yeah, and then it became the Man Channel.
Yeah, so it seems to be just part of the lifespan of a cable channel.
Yeah.
It seems really fast with with the hub, though. The hub didn't seem to be around that long before it's becoming something else.
I think that kind of speaks just to the state of TV. Like, the hub, I think I mentioned this last week, the hub kind of just showed up late. Like, it's a perfectly fine idea a couple years ago, but for something to start now, like, it is kind of outdated. Television in general is moving away from that kind of thing.
Yeah, and it's like you're launching another kids network that is kind of hamstrung to basically just be Hasbro properties.
Yeah, they've got plenty now, you know, just enough to fill out most of a day's programming without feeling like a stretch. But
yeah,
I mean, that's also speaking to someone who knows about who owns what. Like, you get outside of that and it's sort of like, I guess this channel has Star Wars and Transformers, ponies. But yeah,
what channel is that Star Wars, that new Star Wars going to be on? Rebels.
I don't know.
That's not a hub show, I don't think.
I think you're right. Oh, I just looked up Star Wars Ghosts. That's not the name of the show. Well,
that sounds like it might be better.
Their airplane is the ghost, because I saw a Lego set of it the other day, and I looked up a review, and apparently it wasn't super good. Here we go. It's distributed by Disney ABC, so it's going to be on the Disney Channel.
Actually, that makes more sense, because Disney owns Star Wars.
Yeah. Aww. Yeah, I was thinking about the toy end.
Yeah.
And everyone owns everybody.
Seems that way.
But, yeah, that's the current state.
And if you don't own somebody, then somebody owns you. That's deep. That's deep.
Man, I gotta think about it. I gotta go buy somebody so I know I'm on top.
Yeah, or take some acid at the park and stare at ducks and think about it. blow your mind.
Well, let's move on from TV talk and get into the, you know, focus on small plastic things and artwork and whatnot. You know, that way I don't have to go and take an acid trip near a lake full of ducks. Seth, what comes to you in this spirit vision that we call New Picture Picks?
I was looking at this story. I thought it was kind of, this sounds kind of cool. Toys R Us is going to have an exclusive version of The Age of Extinction DVD and Blu-ray that's going to come with two Creo dudes.
Two Creo dudes?
I like the Creo dude now and then.
Yeah, I do too.
So you're going to get yourself an Optimus Prime and a Galvatron. And Galvatron looks way cooler than the Voyager Galvatron, because it doesn't just look like a big gray block.
Link me a pic, because I apparently fail at finding... I saw that news story earlier.
Yeah, it was a few pages back.
Yeah.
It was frustrating looking for a pick, because, like, at the time of this recording, the majority of the stuff on the front page is multiple stories of two different games.
Three, actually, because there are a few for the Mobage fake card game as well.
Oh, boy.
So, we got inundated with a whole lot of stuff of games that are questionable. Oh! Yeah, that Galvatron looks really cool. That looks...
Just to touch on the games, just for a second, once we brought it up, like, the Angry Birds Transformer game, on one hand, I think it's good that they didn't just do another generic Angry Bird game.
Totally.
Like they did for Star Wars. On the other hand, I don't know what that game is. Like, I'm looking at the gameplay video and it's like, what do you just tap things in the background and watch them blow up? Like, I don't... It barely looks like a game.
I really like the design work they did, and I like the videos that show the goofy, like, Transformers, and they turn into vehicles with the head driving the vehicle. That side looks neat, but yeah, the actual game is not really like snagging me. I don't even know if I'm the target audience, really. But yeah, between that and then like, holy crap, more character trailers for Transformers Universe. And then, you know, our weird, like, every now and then front page updates about new campaigns and that Mobage game people shouldn't be playing. Then a lot of soft-tier Transformers video game news last week.
Yeah.
But this Creo Galvatron looks cool. He does look really cool. If they can print him that crisply, like, all that detail and stuff, like, that would be pretty neat. He'd go well with my nice, superior Japanese Voyager Galvatron. Who features additional paint applications on his face. You think you might actually pick up Age of Extinction on physical media?
You know, maybe. Like, I did actually enjoy watching the movie.
Yeah, but... I kind of wanted on Blu-ray because I, you know, the parts of it I liked, I wouldn't mind flipping through, and it's got a whack of extras, so...
And if it's going to come with a couple, like, cool little Creo dudes, then that might be extra motivation.
Yeah.
I just got a feeling, like, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to walk into Toys R Us. There's going to be, like, one copy. And, like, the corner of the box is going to be all ripped open. And the Creos are going to be missing.
Well, that's when you just go, like, well, I guess I'll wait till the Blu-rays in a box set are on sale.
Yeah.
Well... My own new picture pick is touching on something that I talked about before. This is apparently now a physical version of Bold Form's Wildfire, their take on Breakdown that I kind of talked a bit of smack on the last time I talked about it.
Smack talker.
Because it was just like a CAD model. It looked like the most boring thing ever. So now they've got like a gray prototype of it. Here's the big plus, I'm going to say. It looks like they ditched a whole lot of the brutally unnecessary surface detail that made it look like really amateurish. So my biggest problem with it has been fixed in this gray prototype. Hopefully it's indicative of the final product if they actually go for this look. They've got to keep that many smooth surfaces if they're making it look like an articulated G1 toy. Because the original CG model, they had all these greebles and stuff gouged into it and, like, tons of surface detail, but on the body of ostensibly a G1 toy, looked awful to me. So, this is an improvement. Unfortunately, it still looks kind of boring. But I am happy that they've tweaked up the surface detail, I hope, to be a bit more subtle, just a bit more suitable to how this thing looks. Seth, did I talk about this with you before, or was it someone else?
It must have been the other team.
Okay, yeah, because this is a group who are apparently doing their own take on the Stunicons, very G1 toy-oriented, with joints added kind of style. How does this guy look to you?
I'm really not that into it. It doesn't do anything for me that I don't think the fans project Stunticons did better. It doesn't. I mean, and maybe when it's in color, it will look more like the character, but just the gray proto shape of it all.
Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily look at this and go, oh yeah, that's Breakdown.
Well, here's
that's even a Stunticon. It looks, I don't know, it looks very thin and skeletal in a way.
Here's the image I was talking about before, which is a CG image. It's colored, but you can see all the like extraneous stuff in his chest and whatnot.
No, I can't. An error occurred processing this request.
What? Hang on.
How
about I do this? Maybe that'll work.
That worked.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's way too many extra stuffs.
Like all that greebly stuff on his chest just looks terrible.
It looks over-designed.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to produce that and it just didn't come out sharp enough.
Yeah, like one of the big things I didn't like was, like, if you look on his bicep, he has these two pistons and then nothing else on his bicep. Like... that kind of thing I really didn't like, and it looks like that is just now a block on this resin, and that is for the better. But yeah, I'm surprised they are pursuing this. You'll see how it turns out. It's not really catching my interest all that much either. But, you know, they're trucking along in this ever-crowding market. They seem to want to do their thing, and I can appreciate that.
Yeah, I think the only other Stunticons I care about are the upcoming Hasbro ones.
Yeah. Those are still a little bit of a ways away.
Yeah.
Dang it. I was hoping that, like, I don't know, I really hope that at least, like, one set of, like, one wave of those hits pre-December, like, I don't know, early or something, just because I'm really eager to mess around with those and see how they work. But, yeah, that's my new picture pick. I'll keep an eye on that. Something about that project, I just want to, like, projects like that or the, what are they, like, the second group doing combining Dinobots, like, these groups who are now popping up who have never really done anything before and are in a marketplace that is not very accepting of newbies and folks doing kind of the same thing everyone else is doing, like, I want to see what they do to try to fight back against that and you know, make their mark, whether or not they even do, being part of what I'm looking for. But there's another company that has just popped up. They are not doing explicitly Transformer stuff, but they are somewhat relevant because members of this group are former Transformers Hasbro teams. Like, the lead dude on this is Rick Alvarez, who was formerly with Hasbro, and also, I think, right before Hasbro had been helping out with BotCon as well. But this company is called Play With This 2. They are, this weekend actually, like tomorrow, they're going to be apparently debuting a whole bunch more info about what they're doing, but generally, it's former Hasbro staff who want to do 6-inch tall figures with interchangeable parts and weapons and a little transforming sidekick figures. So this is Astro Blast, who's just a big robot spaceman, and he has a little buddy called Tech Drone, who's a little robot that turns into a little scouter flying thing. I'm interested to see how this goes, because this seems like it's not the same thing, but it's kind of a parallel to what's going on over at Boss Fight Studios, where folks who have worked in the industry are kind of coming together to do their own driven independent thing, and I'm really into that idea, so I'm hoping that these guys can bring a good, you know, breadth of experience and make some cool stuff, and really flex outside of the limitations of how they, you know, worked before in a bigger company, but speaking just to these designs, I think they look okay. They're not like, I don't know, not like blowing my mind, but I think they look fine. I like the amount of line work and detail on them, and I like the shape of Astro Blast's head. That's the proper kind of just helmet head with some nozzle stuff coming out of his mouth. I really want to see what it looks like in physical.
Yeah.
But Seth, how do you feel about this whole thing in general and that design picture?
I like the whole thing in general, much like Boss Fight. I think it's cool. It's like this, it's new stuff coming that isn't riding on established IP. It's new. It's original. I'm glad that they're doing 6-inch, because Boss Fight's doing your 3-3/4 stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's cool that they're doing a whole different size of thing. The only other thing about, like, the situation is Play With This 2, they lost the battle for which one of these companies has the cooler name.
Yeah,
Boss Fight is a way cooler. Like, Play With This 2 almost sounds desperate. Like,
it doesn't roll off the tongue.
Come on, man, Play With This too. Like, come on, like, try our thing. Man, yeah, come on.
It's not the name I would have gone for. I'm sure there were discussions about it. Who knows, maybe this will play out in the long run as being a really good idea. It's up front, it definitely just it feels a little unwieldy, but
PWTT.
Yeah, they got the Pwit. They got the Pwit.com, well, Play With This 2.com, but they got their pwit. Pwit. I'm trying to make a one syllable out of it. Pwit.
Yeah. Well, Astro Blast, as far as the designs, Astro Blast looks like he could be pretty cool. Like, I am interested in this whole interchangeableness of it. Like, I want to see how that plays out. His little Tech Drone guy. Like, just looking at the front back and front. Just looking at the front and back of his robot mode. Like, if you just showed me that and said, what do you think this dude turns into? I would have said, well, a stealth bomber, obviously. But, yeah, he doesn't turn into a stealth bomber at all.
Yeah, I mean, and also, if you look at the little Tech Drone especially, like, you can see, like, these guys are, it's original IP, but it is drawing from stuff that they clearly are into and stuff they've worked on before.
Like, oh, the little they tech made
drum a guy. Yeah, little tech drum guy. He looks hella Transformers, but he doesn't look like a Transformer. He just looks right. like he's in the spirit of, which I think is, in the minds especially of big critics of a lot of the third-party groups that are more unofficial and IP infringing, in the spirit of is a very different thing to a lot of those folks than it looks like this guy. So I feel like that's what Play With This 2 is going for very much, is like they're going in the spirit of stuff they think is cool. And I'm super into that just as much as I'm into, yo, it's Computron or stuff like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm really curious to see like the physical figure. I want to see like what the jointing is going to be like. I am assuming that when they say interchangeable parts, right now there is a big, big thing of just 5mm everywhere. Like everyone, indie and otherwise, is kind of getting way more into just like, all right, everything has 5mm ports. Why don't we just play to that? And so I'm hoping that that's at least part of this interchangeability system they're talking about.
Right.
And yeah, I guess the main other big thing other than how the sculpt looks is what are they going to do as far as coloring? Like how much paint are they going to go for? Is it going to be more about plastic color than paint, et cetera, et cetera? So, you know, I don't want to talk too much more about it because ideally a lot of these questions will be at least touched on tomorrow or the day after. But I think it's pretty cool. Apparently the theme of what they're doing is intergalactic heroes versus ferocious monsters. So spacemen versus monsters.
And now does it look like they're just making it happen? They're not doing a Kickstarter like a boss fight did?
Let me see what they've... I don't think they said too much yet.
Oh, our donate page.
That's to help fund their marketing campaign.
Okay.
Oh, no, and wait, right in that same paragraph. That's just a
straight donation thing.
As we get closer to launching our crowdfunding campaign.
Okay, so it's coming. Yeah. It's coming.
I would be surprised if they were able to launch without crowdfunding.
Yeah, because it's just... It seems like a really expensive thing to do.
Well, especially if they're going to do these figures in plastic, they've got to pay for steel molds. That's five figures. And there aren't a lot of people who can just throw down that capital. Especially, the impression I got from their homepage, like, they talk about, you know, what they are, who they are, what they're doing. There was something on here about, where was it? Well, they talk about being people who've worked in transmedia and developing intellectual property. It feels like they really want to go for, oh man, I thought I saw it on the page somewhere. I should have done my research. That's what I get. Well, somewhere in here, I thought I saw something about them, like, really wanting to develop, like, I don't know, like, an identity or something like that. Like,
an identity or something dumb like that. Who needs an identity?
Well, basically, I got the impression that they want to be more than just, like, we're going to be the guys who make this kind of toy. Like, they want to really create something that is more than just, like, the figure you're looking at. Like, that missing link that a lot of people didn't feel was there for Steel Corps. Which is like, why do I care about Steel Corps? So I feel like something that they want to try to do is, I don't know, make you care about their designs beyond just being like, it's a figure. Because, I mean, that's the specialization that I'm guessing some of these team members brought over from their time with Hasbro. And that's something that's needed in independent toys in general. It's a big stumbling block for a lot of indie efforts is like, how do you get people to actually care about your toy? And often it comes down to, well, it's a whole lot like this thing you remember. And you know, that's really about it. I'm curious to see what happens. And
yeah, if I was Ancient Greece, I would sue Boss Fight Studio for ripping off my IP.
Yeah.
That's what Ancient Greece should be doing.
Julius Caesar should just go into court and go like, hey, I invented the Gorgons. Where's my money? But, they're going to be at RetroCon in the next couple of days, and apparently making more announcements there. See what happens. I'll keep my eye on it. I also have totally lost my topic list. Where did I put it? It's probably in the last place I look. Oh, here it is. Seth, are you ready for some listener questions?
Yeah, let's do that.
I pulled from the beginning and from the middle of my list. Give us two listener questions. I'm going to start off with this one from...
I looked at them. I looked at the listener questions while I was waiting.
Yeah.
And I thought, ooh, there's a detail in here. I should probably ask, like, how are we going to, like, what kind of angle are we going to respond to this at? And then it slipped my mind, so I'm just going to wait.
All right. Yeah, I don't even know what... we'll just go with it. The first listener question is from Michael Gaziola. Who says, hello, WTF podcasters. Michael Gaziola here with another listener question. Recently, I've been noticing that some toy companies have been making figures exclusive to places like Walgreens, a place I rarely associated with action figures. I know that not all countries have Walgreens stores in them. Canada doesn't have Walgreens, so yes, that's true. And that some collectors would really like figures like the Marvel Legends Agent Venom or Star Wars Black Prototype Boba Fett. So I was wondering if you guys have ever wanted a figure only to find out that it's an exclusive to a store that is not easily accessible to you or in a different country than your own. Thanks for answering. I always appreciate your guys' opinions. Well, speaking as the non-American, that has happened to me many times. Less so of late as more exclusives come to Canadian Walmart. Like, there was a time when Toys R Us exclusive did not mean global Toys R Us exclusive. It meant USA Toys R Us exclusive.
USA.
That meant that my Canadian Toys R Us still did not get it. So there were many toys like, the RID laser bikes being an easy example off the top of my head. Never saw those on shows.
Those were Walmart.
They were Walmart. Yeah, that was whatever they were. I never saw them in Canada.
I remember being irritated that I had to go to Walmart.
And I actually was just recently at a Walgreens where, spoiler, I picked up Agent Venom and was looking for prototype Boba Fett. There were no Boba Fetts. But, yeah, it's happened to me. But, Seth, you're an American.
Hey.
Have you ever been in a position where there's an exclusive to a store that's not easily accessible to you or even in a different country?
Well, I mean, like, everything that comes out in Japan is, like, an exclusive.
Friggin' those Aeon exclusives. Not fair.
But, like, I remember, like, when the AVO Swerve was happening in different places. And,
oh, yeah.
And it was, like, everyone was like, how the hell are we possibly going to get this thing? And then it turned out you just have to ask a Canadian, and they have a briefcase full of them.
This is true. The market is very different for Swerve than it was a few years ago.
Right.
Thanks but, to like, about two people.
Yeah, but at that those early days, it was like, wow, there's no way to get this in the United States. And you're going to have to jump through crazy hoops to find somebody that will get one for you.
Do you remember when they showed up on a UK, like it was on the AVO UK car shop? But to order yeah. them, you had to pay a levy for car parts.
Right.
That was crazy.
So that's, like, really the one non-Japanese example I could think of, specifically for that. But, like, in regards to Walgreens, I mean, there's not a lot in my general vicinity. Like, there's one in Runner Park. And is that Boba Fett? Is that a 6-inch?
Yeah, 6-inch black, all white.
Oh, man.
The prototype costume, and he's...
Maybe I'm going to need to swing by that Walgreens and look.
Yeah, it's him and Agent Venom, and it seems like there are often a lot more Agent Venoms than there are prototype Boba Fetts.
Yeah, I expect Boba Fetts in any situation to be difficult to find.
I also heard a great story on Twitter from someone, I'll leave their name out in case they don't want it known, but they went to their local Walgreens, went up to an empty toy aisle, and then the manager of the store came up behind them saying, oh, you're looking for Boba Fett or Age of Venom? I'll give you a link to my eBay page.
That really stinks.
It sounds borderline illegal to solicit your own eBay page to your customers.
Yeah, where you're basically just jacking them out of your own store.
I'm not sure if it's illegal, but it definitely doesn't sound like it's store policy in any way. But yeah, that was a...
No, I would do something about that.
I know that it was mentioned, and I agree. You know, if you end up in a position where store employee or manager is basically telling you that they'll sell you the exclusives through their eBay shop, you should call the corporate head and make their life difficult. Because that's, you know, it's worth... It's just a phone call away. It's an email away. See what happens. Because, yeah, that was... dirty, stinky pool I was hearing about. Anyway, hope that answered your listener question, Michael Gaziola.
Well, I was going to say, like, another thing about Walgreens is if I was, like, if I had to get one of those things, like, if I was like, man, I need that prototype Boba Fett more than anything in my life. Like, even though there's only one I could think of nearish by, a little farther, I could just go to San Francisco, where I think the current count is there are 68 Walgreens in San Francisco.
So you could become a Boba Fett dealer.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, the story is Walgreens uses San Francisco as a test market to see how many locations they could cram into an area before they lose profitability. Like, how much can they saturate an area? So there's, man, you turn around and there's a Walgreens in San Francisco. San Francisco is lousy with Walgreens.
Well, this Walgreens I went to had a very misleading advertisement. So I saw this thing, it's a little off topic, on their Coca-Cola cooler. And they said they had these cans, which were like super chilled Coke cans. And I was like, what's that mean? And then there was a sticker on the thing that the Coca-Cola branded, you know, advertising sticker saying, this can is chilled so much that that trick will happen where if you open it, it'll generate its own ice cubes. You know that thing where you get a soda to like near freezing?
Yeah.
So it implied that they had designed those cans to do that. And I know that there were bottles, I think, or maybe cans designed to do that, or at least a vending machine based on that in China. So I was like, oh, wow, I want to see how that works. So I got one. And I opened it up and regular Coca-Cola came out. And I was like, well, that didn't work. That was false advertising, except that I'll sound like a crazy person if I complain. So, whatever.
Well, years ago, also speaking of exclusive to Walgreens, Walgreens had, they were stocking Constructicon knockoffs.
Oh, yeah.
That were all different colored. And people refer to it as Rainbow Devastator.
That's on the, was that one of those ones on the cardboard picture frame style packaging?
I think it was, no. No, because they were packaged individually.
Oh, okay.
So they were on their own bubble card. And, like, I was in San Francisco, and I think I went to, like, four or five Walgreens while we were there. And found all but one. And then months passed, and I went to the Rona Park Walgreens and found the last one I needed. And now I have no idea where they are. They're in a box somewhere. But they were like $1.99 each or something like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, Walgreens.
I mean, this Walgreens had a toy aisle full of clearance old, you know, kind of Five Below style, like, here's a bunch of old toys that are being liquidated. And
yeah, sometimes you can find cool stuff at Walgreens.
Yeah.
Sometimes it feels like you might get stabbed at Walgreens.
Also, if you're surprised Walgreens is getting exclusives, I think Kmart still gets exclusives, so.
Yeah, they recently had, like, some Star Wars exclusives.
Yeah. Everyone's still in on that. You know, they are willing to pony up the money. They can get a deal going.
Oh, and that, if you go to that Rona Park Walgreens, 90% chance you're going to see a chicken walking around.
All right.
Because somebody that lives very close to that Walgreens owns chickens, and they just roam around.
Are they, like, used to people? So, like, they'll just walk up to you or stuff? Or?
I don't think they'll walk up to you, but you could get pretty close. And they're just, like, they'll just be a bunch of chickens, and they'll be walking around the parking lot, like, we're chickens in the parking lot.
I wonder if I could, like, win their respect and get them to follow me around like a posse. Then I could be all like, someone starts something with me in Walgreens, I just point at him, and maybe all the chickens just swarm him.
It might be easier if you found some local chickens, because that's a long way to go to maybe become chicken boss.
But it would be so worth it to become the chicken boss.
The chicken boss in Runner Park.
That's right.
Go back to Toronto and tell people about it.
When I say bagawk, heads turn. Well, I have a listener question from Porter, all caps, P-O-R-T-E-R. He says, hello, evangelist Seth, Aaron, and TJ Omega. I've recently been listening to the podcast, and I must commend you gentlemen for this outstanding entertainment. Patting ourselves on the back while I read that out loud. I listen to the show at least once a day while at work. I do outdoor labor, and so the great thing about it is I can listen to the music and the podcast. It makes each day easier and less stressful. I can dig that.
That's what I do at my work, except for I don't listen to this show once a day. I listen to podcasts all day.
Just listen to the same episode over and over again.
Yep. Yeah, I love the sound of my own voice.
I love episode 323. He has two questions. First one, number one, if the success of the new Menasor and Superion, what other combiners do you guys think might come out next? I mean, what other classic Transformers do we still have left? Trypticon, anyone? Metroplex has already been made. So we've talked about this a little bit on and off, just about, you know, looking at the current template for how these combiners seem to be working, what seems realistic. Seth, what do you think is likely out of this 2015 push?
Well, it was just recently we were talking about, like, what's left to do.
Yeah. Alpha Bravo, classic beloved character.
So now he's talking about third-party stuff, right? Or is he talking about... He said, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
If the success of the new Menacer and Superion. I missed the if part. I thought he was talking about Menacer and Superion as though they already exist, which made me think he was talking about third-party stuff.
Or maybe he's from the future.
Ooh. Yeah. That'd be amazing.
Right?
What might be next? Hopefully they'll get some good response from that upcoming headmaster and do more headmasters.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know really. Like, as far as, like, kind of revamping past stuff, like, they could do, like, another round of generations sort of things and maybe do a new Seeker mold. That would be all right.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think we're going to, it's going to be more about, like, you know, the snake eating its own tail. What's going to be redone because right. The old redos are now so out of date that they feel like they need to be redone.
Right.
When, you know, which is basically the Seekers. Easiest example.
If you're redoing stuff, then you gotta do your Prime and your Bumblebee while you're at it.
That's right.
So, yeah. I would expect to just see them loop back around and start over. But I would like to see them kind of go down some of that later stuff. Like, it'd be really crazy if there was, like, a new version of a Pretender.
Yeah. I mean, Pretenders and Action Masters are two very juicy reservoirs you can hit up for character designs. Like, you'd have to come up with, I think, you know, new permutations on the transformation end and the alt mode end. But
yeah.
A lot of good robot mode designs all just sort of chilling out there.
Yeah, I mean, and for years, if people asked about Headmasters, like, Hasbro would be like, that's never going to happen. And now one's coming, so
yeah.
Who knows? Like, they might take another stab at Pretenders. That'd be really weird. I'd be really excited to see what they did about it, but it'd be really weird.
Yeah, like something like Pretenders is definitely in the realm of, like, I don't even want to theorize how they could do it. I just want to be wowed by them coming up with something I can't think of.
Yeah, it's just, let's see what you do. Even if it's a amazingly spectacular failure, let's all enjoy the failure together.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, just...
Let's look back 5 years after the fact and go, man, remember when they tried to do Pretenders again? What were they thinking?
Just do that Decepticon Pretender with the mustache, whose name I always forget.
Burt Reynolds.
Yeah, Burt Reynolds. Just keep doing, like, just do it, have the crowning achievement be, like, Burt Reynolds, that you know, Pretender shell just turning into a truck, but like a flesh truck with all the skin and stuff just bare and visible on the truck mode. Like, that's what I want. Anyway, there's a second question here, which is, how does one be a part of the podcast? He would love to shoot the breeze with the likes of you gentlemen. He will bring cookies. Thanks for everything and best wishes. Adam Porter, Porter on TFW 1984, Porter on YouTube. Well, basically, the best way to join the podcast is we had a thread go up back in early 2008 in the Supporters Lounge, which was about joining the podcast. So, if you are a time traveler, going back in time to sometime around February, March 2008 is your best bet. Outside of that, generally, like, a great example for why we don't often bring other people on would be the last two times me and Seth podcasted all of a sudden on a Tuesday.
Yeah, like I really am hoping a day comes where my work schedule becomes more predictable and less chaotic. Like, I didn't know what time I was going to get off work today. I was hoping I was going to get off earlier than I did, but I didn't get out as late as I thought I was going to. So
Yeah. And
it's still nuts. Everything is nuts.
it's not just Seth either. I mean, it happens to me constantly too, where I am basically like Aaron and TJ put up with a whole lot of nonsense from me at the last minute going like, "Hey, why don't we podcast on Friday?" Or like all of a sudden on Wednesday night, "Hey, let's podcast on Thursday 'cause I'm going to be out of town on Friday." So that's
Yeah,
part
and
that's
there's been times where I've been like in a mad panic because like I'm gonna get out late, I gotta get out of work, I gotta get home, I gotta rush, and I get home I'm like, oh my God, I'm here, and then you're like, oh, I'm like on the bus, I'll be home in like 20 minutes or whatever. Like, why?
So yeah, like one part of it is, you know, that we are all still doing this on a fully volunteer basis, and as a result, our schedules, especially for stuff like work and whatever, tend to come first, and the podcast maneuvers itself around that. And we've all been doing it together for long enough that we generally are just used to that happening. So, you know, it's part of our little system. The other side of it is that usually when I do bring people on, may or may not be a fault of my own personality. I like to bring on people who I have talked to before, who I know I already have like a kind of speaking cadence with, and ideally people that other members of this podcast have at least had a little bit of time speaking to as well, just for the sake of not having it be like, "Hi, we're the WTF and TFW podcast with special guest person that we don't know." And it's not to say that we don't want to talk to other people, but a podcast recording is slightly different than just like a casual conversation.
Yeah, and you know, if you want to shoot the breeze and give us cookies, cookies are delicious. No raisins, please. That's a cookie trick.
You.
Yeah, who tricks people? Like at a glance, a cookie with raisins. Like at a glance, you're like, oh, chocolate chip cookie,
Yeah.
and then he's like, ah, what's going on? This is awful.
Have you ever had that
This is
thing
a
where you thought it was a
nightmare.
chocolate chip
I've
and
been
then
cookie tricked again.
you bite into it and the chocolate chip is chewy and you have that moment of realization before you even taste it? Just
Yeah.
from the texture of like, oh
No, yeah,
no!
that's happened a bunch of times. It's the cookie trick.
It's a tiny prune!
Yeah, it's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing to do somebody. It's a bad trick. You're a bad person if you do that to somebody. You're bad. Anyway, back to the topic. If you want to shoot the breeze and bring us cookies, that's awesome. Like, probably the best way to do that is to go to conventions.
Well, that's one of the two best ways. The other best
And
way is,
then, yeah, maybe you don't end up on the show per se, but that's a good place to meet people and hang out and talk.
well,
It's fun.
the other best way, I know this doesn't work for everyone, but I tend to treat Twitter as one big old conversation. And so, you know, social media is another way to shoot the breeze. It's a lot easier than trying to synchronize up with us on a voice call. But yeah, we've touched on this now and then, but when this came in, I thought like, hey, you know, it's worth bringing up again. That's why we generally kind of just keep to ourselves and the people we know when it comes to the podcast, because I personally feel that will make for more fun to listen to podcasts. But yeah, we are not opposed to talking to people that we don't know. Like Seth said, conventions are a wonderful, fantastic way to become people that we know. That's
Yeah,
kind of
like,
how we've met most of the people we know who end up on the podcast.
Empire from Pre-Order 66. He was some dude that just happened to be in the same part of the line we were in.
Yeah.
And then I figured that he was somebody that you guys already knew because I got there a little late and I didn't realize he was just some guy that happened to be in line. But by the time we were out of that line, he was just one of the guys. He
Well, like
was just
at this year's
permanently one of
BlockCon,
the dudes.
I was in the registration line, kind of just bumping into some people I knew, but you know, in the actual line, kind of on my own for a lot of it. And so just trying to socialize with whoever was nearby, because there was a whole bunch of silent people standing in a line. So I was like, hey, we're all here. I'll just have a loud conversation with somebody that I kind of do know, and maybe we'll just bring more people into it. And that was fun.
Oh man, well there was that the Florida BotCon. I was multiple drinks in at the bar, and I don't know how long I was rambling, but I was just babbling about all kinds of dumb things, and then at some point it just clicked that there was like a half circle of like seven people standing around me just listening to me rambling, and I'm like, what am I even talking about? Where did all these people, why are they listening to this stupid crap?
Something like that happened to me once. And
who's worse, me for saying all this dumb stuff or them for listening to it?
I think it was at 07 or 09, I can't remember which one, where I was just having a good time, I was a little bit tipsy, just having loud conversations in the lobby through till like 2 in the morning, and then the thing that got me to go to bed was when I realized that I was suddenly talking, or I wasn't even talking, I was having like a conversation at a large group of people who I did not know and who did not know me, and that potentially they were trying to have their own conversation, and I was just standing there yelling because I was already talking to somebody else, and it drifted over to them. And then I was like, oh no, I don't know what's going on. So I fled.
That'd be great if it happened like mid-sentence. Like, let me tell you about another thing. Pillars, what? No, gone.
Oh, who are you? Who are you? Just turn and run up the escalator.
But you're running up the down escalator, so it's taking forever.
Screaming with my arms flailing. You're not pillars. But yeah, like I'll always say, I'm not trying to be mean about it, but we tend to do the podcast more as a thing that we do with a bunch of buddies. And then we'll talk to folks, just not in a scheduled manner, because it's also just kind of stilted. I don't know. It's like, hey, we'll talk to you precisely at this time. You have this space of 3 hours to both get to know us, get comfortable with talking to us, and be funny.
Yeah, and then, like, when we have had people on as guests, a lot of times it's so last moment.
Yeah.
Like, when Random Factor was on, it was a moment of panic where I didn't think I was going to get home in time to even do the show that week. And I sent Vangelis a message saying, like, I don't even know if I'm going to be there, so you might just... You need to find somebody just in case.
And I was just like, all right, go to the mass computer, show me the agents most suitable for this task.
Yeah.
I'd been wanting to have Random Factor on a non-convention one for a while anyway.
Yeah, and when you were like, I found somebody, then I was just like, well, just start.
Yeah.
Because who knows how long I'm going to be stuck here.
And then we had the wonderful thing of you turning up while we were recording. Because yeah. I wasn't sure if you were going to. It's like, whatever.
Yeah. Well, I remember telling you, I was just like, just start, and if I get home not too late, I could just jump in wherever you're at.
Yeah. Which, by the way, just for those of you who want to do your own, you know, little ensemble media projects, being able to think on your feet like that is a good skill to pick up. Regardless of whether or not I'm actually good at it, I'm not sure, but it's a very useful thing to be able to do, because if this podcast hinged on careful planning... That would fall apart if any of those dominoes did not stack right. We wouldn't have this many episodes right now.
No.
I would have had a nervous breakdown a long time ago.
I don't even know how we have this many episodes.
So we just keep doing it. That's pretty much it.
Oh, yeah.
And I still smile and I laugh every week. And that's the thing that keeps me going.
Usually I either smile or laugh. And it's weird when I'm laughing and not smiling. That's weird.
That's real creepy. That's real.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's always been our driving force. This is the whole point of this podcast, no matter how we've changed over the years, is it's still got to be fun for someone who's doing it.
Yeah.
And so once that stops. Yeah. Come to conventions. Have fun. You know? Also, I say this a lot, and I'll say it again. If you've got buddies who, you know, all have schedules that sync with yours and you like talking to them anyway, that's a way to just try recording your own test podcast, see what happens. I've heard many of them. Some of them go well, some of them not so much, but it's something that's worth doing, you know? If you really want to try it out, and you've got the folks there, just pick up a Skype recording piece of software and have a roll of it, see what happens. Anyway. Hope that answers your listener question, Mr. Porter. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back to talk a little bit about buying things. Because Seth is in such a great position to just start collecting entire lines of Transformers and other toys. So we'll be right back.
Oh boy. Vangelis.
Going off of something that was mentioned earlier, I think off mic, I wanted to ask you, how is Mr. Banjo dealing with the new surroundings?
Well, right now, he's sort of relegated to the downstairs area, the ground floor, Alpha Command Base Bravo, and we got this big... It's called a cat playpen on the box, but it's really a big cage.
it's a playpen. Get in.
Yeah, it's got some platforms. So, like, there's vertical to it, and the platforms have pads on them, so you could, like, chill on that. And that's kind of where he's got to go when nobody's home. Because Banjo had developed a pretty bad history at my dad's of... looking at his litter box as more a suggestion than a requirement. And so far, he's been really good since we've been here. We think it may have a lot to do with the fact that there are no other cats.
Yeah.
But also, my girlfriend is allergic to cats. So eventually, we're going to introduce him to the second floor, but he's never going to be allowed into the bedroom or anything, and she can really only stand to be around him for so long before, like, she starts, her eyes get all puffy and itchy and it starts becoming unpleasant for her. So for the most part, he's fine. He's just a little, sometimes he's got to be a little by himself.
Well, speaking as, you know, one of the afflicted, like, it'll get better for her, because the more you're around a certain cat, the less allergic you are to it. Like, the one that's at the place I'm working at, I've been around for a year. For the first couple months, it was harsh, and now I hardly even realize that cat is there. I mean, the stuff there also has been done to help out, like, keeping the area I work in clean, and there's an air filter, something or other machine. But you do, I've read about it, you do naturally attune to an individual cat over time.
Right. Well, and apparently, because I read up on cat allergy some to see, like, what can I do to help, and it's apparently a protein in their saliva that you're allergic to.
Yep.
And that's weird.
it's because that's how they mark their territory. They put their saliva all over their body, and they rub their body on everything.
Yeah.
That's the gist of the science.
Yeah. It's crazy. But you'd think somebody can invent, like, a pill or something and give it to the cat. And then you take care of the protein, but no such luck. So, like, I'm reading through some of these suggestions, and I come across one. I'm like, oh, here's something you are not going to want to do. And she's like, what? I'm like, it says you could go get a shot that will lessen the effects but not cure the allergy, and you have to get like one shot a week for 2 months. And then a booster shot once a month for like a year or something like that. And she's like, I'm not doing that. I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't even ask you to.
I couldn't deal with that myself. I just have to get used to it.
Yep. But, you know, he's being a good boy so far.
All right. He's
chilling on my desk right now. Well, on a shelf on my desk.
Because I mean, this is me attributing a whole lot of stuff that might not be there. I always seem to In my mind's eye, I picture Banjo as being kind of like the one cat mafia. Who just sort of like, he's the kind of cat, he'll just stroll into the room, like this big crowded restaurant. Everyone's just talking, eating. Then the door opens and Banjo walks in. Everyone just goes like hushed tones, like, it's Banjo. And Banjo knows it. He just walks in. Doesn't make eye contact with anyone. Just sits at somebody else's table and they leave.
That's kind of close. Like, he's not one of those cats where if, like, strangers come into the house, he doesn't go and hide. Like, he backs off. Like, he'll go to a different room. And then, not long after everyone settles down, then he'll be, like, in the entry to the room everybody's in.
He's kind of watching.
Yeah, and then he watches for a little while, make sure nobody's acting crazy. And then he'll just come in and go about his regular business. And that was even the case when my brother brought his dog over. Like, it took very little time before Banjo was like, I'm sniffing you out and seeing what's up.
Yeah, like, I got a business to run here.
Yeah, but I've known cats that a stranger comes into the house and you don't see them. You don't see them till about an hour after the stranger leaves.
Yeah. I mean, the cat of the place I work at is a little bit like that. Very, very paranoid of outside people. In fact, very paranoid of anyone who is not the singular human owner.
Yeah, my dad's cat is like that.
Yeah, I've never encountered such a paranoid cat before. It kind of bummed me out because I was just so used to cats always being like, oh, they're fun and cuddly and they like you. And I met this cat who does not like people whatsoever. And I was like, what am I doing wrong? Oh.
Yeah, well, an aunt of mine, she had a cat that was a stray that sort of adopted her. And she was the only person in the world this cat would have anything to do with. And when she passed away, it kind of fell on us to take the cat. And man, that thing could not have been more miserable. Man. And soon, like, the cats we had at the time were indoor-outdoor cats. They would just come and go all day. And as soon as we started transitioning this cat to going outside, it was just gone. Like, it was like, later, I'm out.
Bye.
I'm returning to my feral lifestyle. I liked that human. I don't know where she went, but screw you guys.
Yeah,
when they were trying to catch the cat when they were cleaning out my aunt's condo after she passed, they were chasing the cat down the hall as it was pissing. And then it climbed up the wall to get away. And they had to rip it off the wall.
Man. Yeah, sometimes they're just not happy. They're just not happy with what's going on.
Yeah, no, it probably would have been better if they just let it go back to its wild lifestyle. Because that was a wild feral cat that just happened to had established a relationship with this one specific human being.
Yeah. Well, I have established a specific relationship with money, which is I spend it.
Ah, me too.
So, I want to talk about what we got this week.
Okay.
Let's talk about Transformers first. Seth, as I said, you are in such a position to just be throwing down. I was on Mandarake, and I saw the Deluxe Dark of the Moon Leadfoot, very rare toy. It's up there for 25,000 yen, and I was like, I hate you, Mandarake, go to hell, and I closed the browser window.
Straight to hell.
So Seth, I am guessing that you have not been doing much toy purchasing with this whole move going on over the last little while.
No, when I've been at places that sell toys, like your Kmarts and your Targets and whatnot, I have gone and looked in the aisles, and it's just leftover Dark of the Moons, or Age of Extinction stuff. That'd be awesome if it was still Dark of the Moon stuff. That'd be amazing. Like, that latest wave of generations with, like, Tankor and Rat Trap. Like, I've seen those, but they're from eras of Transformer I wasn't that attached to.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm looking for Jetfire. I'm psyched for Wingblade. I guess she's starting to show up places.
Yep.
I pre-ordered Chromie NRC. So, like, there's still stuff I'm looking for. I gotta be so much more picky these days. But I have Wheeljack coming. He is in transit. But will not arrive until next Emergency Tuesday. Well, it's not going to be a recording Tuesday, but all Tuesdays are an emergency in my life, so.
Yeah. Well, Wheeljack is a good choice to make as far as Fickle purchasing, because mine just showed up recently. But I'll talk about the more important toy he came with. Have you heard of Slog?
I have heard of Slog.
All right, well, I got the Japanese version of Slog.
Oh my gosh.
So, imagine Slog, right?
Okay.
But with a little bit more silver paint on his chest and his legs.
Ooh.
And there you go. Like, he looks more like this photoshopped picture of Slog. Still not exactly like it, but more like it.
Uh-huh.
So, I got the toy, and I can answer the one question I had going in, which is, all the American versions of Slog are packaged in a way where this big, flat, rubbery front breastplate for the dinosaur mode is, like, curled up, bent, and stuffed into his spinal column.
Uh-huh.
Thus meaning you gotta break out a hairdryer and, warm it, straighten it, then hold it straight and run it under some cold water. Japanese version, exactly the same thing, because they use the exact same packaging. So I had to do that. It actually was not very hard to do, but it is a bummer that the packaging design on Slog basically, like, totally contorts a piece on the figure. But as a figure, I kind of dig him. I think he's the last Age of Extinction figure I'm getting. I think the line's basically over now, unless they do a stinger. He's the last of the Dinobots for me. And he's okay. He's not mind-blowing. I did not find his transformation nearly as difficult as a lot of other people have. Again, like with Lockdown and with New Bumblebee, I got the Japanese version, and I may have a different build quality experience than other folks. I know I've seen this firsthand with, an easy example, Arms Micron Ultra Magnus was way better than our Ultra Magnus. So maybe I'm not experiencing, loose tabs or joints that other people are experiencing, but I found him to be just fine. His weapons are kind of dumb, and they're dumb in a way I kind of like, but then dumb in a way I kind of don't like, because they're big lances and he can't hold them like lances, so he's basically just bonking you with these huge red sticks. Uh-huh. You can mount them on his back so they're like cannons, and they look way better mounted on his back like cannons, so that's what I do. But I like his sculpt. I think he fits the aesthetic really well of knights. Now I've got the whole team of ancient knight Dinobots, and I think it worked out okay. He's neat.
Well, speaking of the movie Dinobots.
Yeah.
So, are you aware of the whole controversy surrounding the Spinosaurus?
Which controversy?
That there's a new interpretation of what those things look like, and it's not like what we thought they've looked like since Jurassic Park 3.
I did not know that.
Yeah, and apparently it's all Mikey's fault. That's the impression I'm getting.
Well, he's a paleontologist, so yes, it is all his fault.
Right.
It's up to him to maintain and upkeep, our knowledge of these creatures, and that doesn't look anything like the one that I have a toy of. Where are the spines?
Well, if you scroll down a little, there's the new suggested skeletal structure. They have a very different profile.
Oh man, they're a quadruped now?
It looks like quasi-quadruped?
Quasi-quadruped.
Its hind legs are much little tinier.
Yeah. Because, the one that we all know and love is basically like a weird-looking raptor thing.
Yeah, this looks more like a crazy alligator.
Mikey, what are you doing?
Yeah, Mike. Even in this artwork, they gave it kind of like web toes. And it's like splashing around the agua.
I prefer the Scorn take on this thing.
Yeah, it looks more like an alligator banged a Dimetrodon.
Oh, why would you do that?
Because it was kinky.
Ick.
But this is the whole Brontosaurus thing all over again.
Yeah, and you paleontologists are supposed to curate this stuff and prevent these kind of nonsenses from happening.
Yeah.
Once upon a time there was a planet called Pluto. Not anymore. Thanks, paleontology.
Yeah, Mike.
Can't believe this happened. I've ruined these toys. I'm throwing them all out. These toys are ruined. I don't even know if they're accurate anymore. But in that same box with that was a Brontosaurus that I got, so it doesn't even enter into it. But he came with Masterpiece Wheeljack. I want to save a lot of my talk about him for when there's a conversation going on, so as I'm not just talking about a toy at Seth that Seth is getting on Tuesday for a whole long chunk of time. So I'll just summarize that a lot of the folks who have really good things to say are right. The car mode looks great. The robot mode looks great. It actually looks way better in hand than it does in photos. It's one of those unphotogenic robot modes where still imagery just makes him look like he's the wrong shape. It's when you turn him left and right in your hands that the mass really works. Really good transformation. I don't know if it's new toy syndrome yet, so I don't really want to say it, but it feels like he may be the best transformation of the three Masterpiece cars that have come out in the last couple years. And he turned out great. And there's a whole weird thing where they gave him a mustache under his mouth plate. If you unscrew part of his head. I haven't looked at mine. I'm just leaving that all together because there are photos. The only worries I have about him are... it's apparently has already happened to someone. His clear wings have a joint on them that helps them in transformation. It's not actually necessary for transformation. It's just a way to get them out of the way of his wheels. But it's a very tight joint, and the plastic is thin and clear. So you got to be careful when you use that joint, or just try not to use it at all. Because apparently someone has already managed to have a little bit of a fracture there because they bent it the wrong way. Also, there's an ongoing thing where apparently... the circular piece of plastic around his elbow pin is cracking. I looked at mine. There's a crack on both of his elbows, but it doesn't look like it... it looks like it's there for the sake of tension. If I hadn't read a report of someone saying they had one without cracks, I would just believe that that crack is meant to be there to allow some flex on the plastic rivet. Or not plastic rivets, or the plastic, I think, washer? Anyway, his elbows are still super frigging tight, and I don't see how that thing can, I do not see how that thing can actually crack open. It's surrounded by another plastic assembly, that being his forearms. So I don't think it's a problem that you're going to have to worry about anytime soon. My only problem with him so far has really just been that the paint on his car mode, a lot of the paint, like the stripes, the red and the green, comes really close to other stuff during transformation. And I expect that you should probably assume you're going to end up causing a scratch or two just from learning the toy. And be able to be okay with that. And if you're not okay with that, maybe be okay with it, because it seems like everyone wants to do full body repro labels and other label sticker sheets for this guy to make him even more accurate to the 80s. So, overall, fantastic toy. Ridiculously good transformation. There you go. Seth, look forward to it. If you can.
I am looking forward to it.
All right. Good. Oh, and you have to put his, what are the mirrors on the sides of the car? The side rearview mirrors. You have to put those on manually.
What do you call those mirrors that are stuck to the side of the car that let you see a rear view?
What do you call them? The head guy mirrors.
Yeah, the head guy mirrors.
The head guy mirrors, yeah, you gotta put those on manually. And they give you two sets of them just in case you somehow screw it up. Which should be impossible. So that's kind of cool. Anyway, I think that's all the transform. Oh, no, wait. I don't think I talked about this last week. I got a test shot of a third-party unofficial toy that's not out yet. And I'm going to find a picture of it. What's that thing everyone uses? Instagram is that thing everyone uses.
I don't use it. I did use it. I used it before everybody used it. And I was like, nobody's using this. And I stopped. And then, like, a year later, it was the biggest thing ever. And I was like, well, I ain't going back.
Got to stick to your resolve.
I was indifferent to Instagram before. It was cool.
I don't seem to know how to share an Instagram link with... Oh, wait. I take modal equals true off of this, and I bet you it works. Yeah, there we go. So, you know that toy that I thought was called Groin?
Yes.
So Troll being the first part of that combiner, I got a hold of a test shot of Troll, which is this third-party unofficial version of Blot. And it's a fantastic figure. It's from Unique Toys, same guys who did Salmore. And this is I think this is the first thing they are releasing after Salmore and Splinter. and it feels way better than Salmor, and I already think Salmor feels great. This thing feels like way tighter. There's like an actual ratchet system in the hips. Everything has solid tabs everywhere, so there's nothing flopping around in either of his modes. The monster troll mode is actually kind of poseable, and in this photo I took, I'm kind of showing how like his monster arms turn into a backpack, but they split apart to turn into a backpack and the robot arms. You can individually transform them back into the monster arms for his robot mode to give him like power gloves or stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But the figure feels really good. I'm very impressed. Unique toys are like constantly like this has been said by other reviewers like Ben's Collectibles and Pio say it all the time, but now I'm saying it too. Like from Salmor to Troll, there is this enormous step forward in just overall build quality, and it seems like Unique Toys is actively just being quietly really scrappy. They're just pushing, fighting, trying to improve. It feels like they are very much trying to not get complacent and possibly become a casualty of the ever-crowding marketplace they're in. So, I'm impressed. And the toy is really good as a toy. Like, there's almost no engineering on him for being a foot. Like, the only piece of dedicated engineering on the whole figure for being a foot is this tiny little thing that folds out of his crotch. That is it. Everything else is based on making him as a toy better alone. And that's the thing I really ended up digging about him, is regardless of whether or not you get into Orden or Groin or whatever you want to call him, this figure is just a really good modernized blot. And you don't have to get the other figures to get your whole money's worth out of him, I think, anyway. It's just a bummer that he costs like $5 more than Salmor, because that means he's like $105 at most of the American retailers, and he costs $5 more than Salmor, and he feels $10 better than Salmor. But it's still an unfortunate price, because it's not an impulse kind of price. It's triple digits now. It's a rough pill to swallow. So at least try to play with one if you get the chance. He's fun. Good transformation. And he's the right colors. Not a nose monster, though, so I don't know if that ruins it for some folks. Seth, what's your opinion? Do you think he's got to just be a giant walking nose, or can he be more like a troll?
I think he could be whatever he sets his mind to. He doesn't have to be a troll or a large walking nose. He could be a large troll nose.
He's saying that his fate could be is
the best in the world. He could reach the mountaintop as long as he believes.
As long as he believes he can be whatever he wants to be?
Yep.
Have you seen his troll mode?
I don't think so.
Well, here's a picture of his troll mode. This is for reference, so you know. He's got a little skirt in this mode to make him look even more like a troll. Like a proper high fantasy troll, little armored skirt.
He looks like a robot.
A robot looks troll.
Like a monster robot.
Yeah. No. He's got ankle tilts in that mode.
Maybe he would seem more trollish if you put a bridge over him.
I'm working on it. But yeah, I really was impressed by it. I'm hoping to get that review up with my review of Tigress from Feral Rex over this weekend. And I still, whenever I glance at it, when I see that font they used for Orden, whenever I glance at it at the corner of my eye, I blink at it, it looks like Groin to me. I don't know, it's my problem to deal with. But that's the Transformers thing I did. Seth, were you able to spend money on things that weren't Transformers?
Not toys, unfortunately. I have some not Transformers also coming with Wheeljack. They are transforming toys, but they're not Transformers.
That's a mystery.
Also, they're not third party. What?
But that doesn't exist. Who are they supposed to be?
We'll have to wait and see, dear listener.
Also, I would say one of these photos you've shared with me, I would call it a grown-up toy.
Okay.
The one with the foldy thing. And the little built-in thing with the wire on it. I call that close to it.
Right. So today, my furniture finally arrived. I mentioned this a long time ago, many episodes ago, when we bought all this stuff, and it just now showed up because, shipping. So it came today while I was at work. So I saw it briefly. Like, I came home, I went upstairs, and went, yep, there it is, got Banjo's food, and then came back downstairs. So we finally got it. So I sent you, I just got you a bunch of pictures here. I also tweeted them at you because it was, this was the quickest way to get them out of the phone and into Skype was to tweet them all first. So in there, what do we got? So we got our dining room table. Mm-hmm. You can't see it, but on the side by the wall, there's a bench. And what was cool, and what it, like, my girlfriend just fell in love with the finish. It's a very dark, deep wood color, but deep, it's also kind of uneven. It's kind of uneven.
Yeah.
And so, like, the corners are rounded off, but in a way that it kind of looks like they've just worn down more so than they were smoothed over.
It's nice because it also means you won't injure yourself if you bump into it.
Right. And one of the things that sold me on it was with the bench fits underneath and between the legs real good. So we can move it closer to the wall when we don't need all the seating, which is going to be most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then it opens, it extends, but it doesn't have a separate leaf. The leaf like all kind of folds up underneath. So you just undo the latches underneath and pull it open and it just becomes longer. So it transforms.
Yeah, it's a toy.
Right.
Basically.
And I got a laugh at the furniture store when I looked at my girlfriend and said, "Guys, I don't think we found a table here. I think we found a transformer."
Oh, no.
So that came.
That happened.
Then we got a couch. It's a couch.
Yep.
And we got that dining room table that's there. Coffee table. The coffee table is like metal.
Metal!
And it has like this brushwork on it. That it doesn't look like brushed aluminum kind of brushwork. Like, it's a metal table. It was painted this like gunmetal gray. And then it looks like someone went up and down it with like a wire brush to sort of like put this like kind of grain to it.
Yeah.
And then it's got wheels. So we could roll it around, and that's pretty cool. And then in the last picture is the little side table we got. And that's the crazy high-techy thing. And it's not even that crazy. And it's not even that high-tech, but it's cool anyway. So it's a fairly narrow side table. And like when we were, I think I told this story already, but when we were walking around the furniture store, we were looking for a side table, and we wanted something a little more narrow because most of the side tables they had were just these big squares. And we don't have that much room to waste. So I see this kind of narrow one and I'm like, oh, that one looks around the right size. And there was like a power cord coming out the back of it. I'm like, what is this thing need a power cord for? So I go over there and I'm looking at it and there's like this drawer, like a little platform that rolls out like a drawer, but it's not like enclosed like a drawer. And I start pulling it down, and I pull it all the way out, and that's when I see against the back wall of the thing is like a built-in power strip.
Yeah.
With like two or three standard outlets and two USB ports.
That's also what I would call grown-up toys, because that's like, you know, it's multifunction, it's hidden features.
Yeah, and that was like, oh, look at this. Look at this. And my girlfriend's like, that's great because you can plug your stuff in, put it on that little platform, roll it back. You're recharging your phone or your iPad or whatever, and there aren't wires visible everywhere.
Is it surge protected, you know?
Yeah, because it's got that little switch.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
So it's not like a crappy thing you have to daisy chain onto a safety thing. It's
right. So we saw that as like, throw this on the pile, my good man. And then we got a couple stools, but, you know, they're just like metal stools. They're not really, I didn't take a picture of them. They're just stools.
Yeah.
But that all came today, and it was very exciting. And as soon as we're done with this, I'm going to go back upstairs, and I'm going to sit on my new couch.
Just bask in it and go, and like,
relax.
I spent all my money.
Right. So we're looking around at the different coffee tables. And like, I wanted a coffee table. My girlfriend was like, "Yeah, coffee tables. Like, maybe if we find a cool one." And I was like, I've always had coffee tables in my life. I like a good coffee table. we should find a coffee table. And, like, I'm seeing some that I kind of like, and she's seeing, oh, she kind of likes. And then, like, she's like, what do you think of this one? And I'm like, I think it's cool. She's like, you don't mind the metal? I'm like, no, metal's cool. And she goes, yeah, and I would let you put your feet on this one. And I'm like, sold.
Where do I sign?
Yeah, I'll put my feet up on a coffee table. I don't care. So that was cool. So we're very happy with this stuff. And I'm, man, I can't wait till we have a weekend where we don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
It's not going to be this weekend, but maybe next weekend. I'm really stoked for the first time to get a weekend where we don't have to go anywhere or do anything, and we just bum around this place.
That's when you order in your good pizza. You just, like, queue up some badass Netflix.
Yeah.
Just kick back and go, like, I get to do this.
Yeah, last weekend we got the cable and internet put in. And, like, I watched the new episode of the new season of South Park last night. That's, like, all the TV I've had time for. Oh, we watched, on demand, we watched the first episode of this reality show, Utopia, which is almost a really cool idea. But then they got credited up with reality show nonsense.
I really want to watch the one where it's like Murder in Small Town X, but it's like Game of Thrones, where they bring a bunch of people into fantasy land and just play it like it's a fantasy land.
Oh, it's called The Quest, I think. Yeah.
That's because I loved Murder in Small Town X, because I love the ludicrous idea of, like, we're going to have all these actors just have to play in character and maintain in character, even if some of these contestants turn into total jackholes and just start going, like, you're not really a Roman emperor. But I don't know. Something about that idea of everything just potentially going completely wrong down to the core concept of the show that makes me a little bit drawn to it. I haven't watched any of it, but...
Well, this Utopia show, it's like they... What is it, like... 14 people, 15 people, however many people it is. So they're, like, put on this property, and it's, like, all fenced off, and they're given limited supplies. And, like, they got a couple cows and a bunch of chickens and farmable land and a pond with fish and a barn. And that's about it. And they're going to be in there for a year. Like, they're going to be in there for an entire year. And now I'm like, okay, now I'm interested. And it's like, and they have to develop their own, they have to figure out their own society in this place. I'm like, okay, now this also sounds interesting. And then the host goes, oh, and once a month, one of you will be removed and replaced with a new person. I'm like, why? Unless somebody, like, decides, I'm not doing this anymore and leaves on their own, like, why are you building in this elimination thing? That's a bummer.
You've got to have conflict, which is something I don't miss. Yeah, you have to have conflict when you're writing a story where you're in control of everyone. But to me, if it's something like that, yeah, like, what's the point of introducing conflict when it's unscripted? That's the whole point of reality TV, is you don't have to come up with that side of it.
Right, well, they selected these people to automatically, like, build in massive potential for conflict. Because it's like, everyone comes in with, like, their... Like, they keep referring to, well, in my utopia, we don't do this. Or in my utopia, we do that. But it's like, you have your, like, super kind of Tea Party libertarian guy. And then you have, like, your hippie chick. And then you have your Christian minister... And then you got this atheist. And then you got this person that's really into yoga. And
why are they switching anyone out? I mean, that sounds like your perfect kind of garbage Big Brother style cast.
Yeah, you have your semi-homeless ex-convict. And you have your toothless redneck. And who's legitimately has no teeth and goes by Red. Because he's a super hillbilly.
Yeah, that whole switching thing sounds like they gotta just stop. I mean, I know you could do this. They could just stop doing that and take it out of, you know, the intro of the show or whatever. Like,
yeah,
because that sounds stupid. That's just gonna, yeah, I don't agree with that.
Now, like, in the first episode, one guy gets really drunk and out of control, and they actually have, like, a little trial for him. And one of the possible outcomes was going to be they were going to tell this guy he had to leave.
Yeah,
then also in that episode, a dude gets really upset and he like packs up all his stuff and he heads for the gate, but they talk him into staying.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, if the group expels somebody, like just because of reacting to how they behave, or somebody walks out the door with both fingers in the air, then bring in somebody else. But to create a situation where somebody has to go, it just seemed pointless.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it seems like if the option is there to happen, that's all you really need. It's like, let it be something that they are able to do as part of the game and see what happens.
Yeah, but otherwise, it seems like one of the more interesting reality show ideas I've heard in a long time.
Hmm.
I might check it out some more and see how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, I should, you know, post-face all the stuff I just said with, by the way, I also think most reality TV is complete garbage, which is edited in the most specifically masterful and also terrible way.
Oh, but yeah, it's absolute. Said, it's absolute. Garbage.
Like, I will never defend most of these shows. Most of the time when I watch them, I just sit there watching the editing and just get more and more angry and impressed at the same time.
Oh, I had to stop watching the American version of Kitchen Nightmares because the editing was just egregiously awful.
Like, it's really interesting for a while, but like, it can, if you know what's happening, it can get, especially if you've seen the original Kitchen Nightmares, it can be so borderline insulting to watch.
Oh, the original Kitchen Nightmares is amazing. Yeah. It's great. The American version is awful.
Just for how, like, stupid it takes you, you know? Like, well,
yeah, there's episodes where it's like, okay, they're doing the dinner service segment, which always goes bad, but then they rally at the very end. It's the, like, they got the American version down to a formula. Certain things happen in each segment.
Yeah.
And then Gordon Ramsay's yelling at the people, but when he's yelling at them, they're all assembled together, and you can tell that it's after the restaurant is closed, and he's critiquing them after the fact. But they're cutting his yelling in to shots of patrons in the restaurant, like, turning and looking over their shoulder.
Yeah, and it's like, it's taking you to be some kind of moron, you know? Like, yeah. I'm not saying you're a moron if you don't notice it's happening, but it's like, the way it does it, it's distracting in a way that it can kind of, you know, sneak its way past you, but it does it in this very specific way where I feel like it's also telling me I'm an idiot. and it's kind of offensive. That's why I really enjoy shows like Sweet Genius or Cutthroat Kitchen, which either completely shirk the idea of forced drama, or in the case of Sweet Genius, I thought it was fantastic watching the first season attempt to be one of those shows, and basically like that side of it getting like surgically removed from the inside out over the course of the first season. Yeah. It was fantastic.
Well, thanks to my girlfriend, I've seen more episodes of Project Runway than I thought I would ever see. And the editing doesn't seem too bad there. Like, every now and then something will get cut in a way where I'm like, But for the most part, it seems like it at least feels fairly honest.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind if there's creative editing to tell a story or, you know, alter the truth. It's more so, like, how you do it.
Yeah.
Like, in the case of Kitchen Nightmares, that frigging, you know, the nails on the chalkboard sound effect they always use. Uh-huh. Whenever anything happens, and it's like, it's like, do you think I'm a goldfish that I'm not realizing that you're playing that noise 15 times over the course of this hour? Like, yeah. Anyway, reality TV sucks.
How did that happen?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I mentioned I got TV.
Yeah. That's what you get for getting TV, Seth.
I'll never get TV again. I'm sorry, listeners. I apologize.
Well, I'm happy that you're basically so close to being fully settled in. That's going to be great.
Yeah.
Good.
We were actually looking at Army Cots on Amazon. You said if you ever came to visit, you wanted an Army Cot for Alpha.
Well, I want an Army Bravo. Hammock. I want to be hanging from...
No, you said cot.
I said hammock.
No. Roll back the tape.
All right, so dear listeners, go back and tell us which one of us is right, because I don't actually really want it. I don't want to go back and scroll through it.
Someone I thought you said you didn't want. I thought you were saying you don't actually want a hammock or a cot.
I'll take a like a cool army hammock. That'd be neat.
On Amazon, there's like some kind of cool looking updates to the cot, where like there were like hanging pouches and stuff on the side, so you could keep stuff. And
I love the idea of setting up inside someone's house as though I'm sleeping outdoors. Like my boots hanging off the ceiling.
Yeah, there's no way we're hanging a cot in here, man. We had the biggest security deposit. We're not anchoring big hooks in the walls.
I didn't think you were going to, so that's part of why I was sort of speaking freely.
Anyway, did you get anything off topic?
I'm so glad someone finally asks me. I did. Got a couple things.
Did you learn how to believe?
I believe you may have listened to last week's episode where I talked about Korean robots a whole lot.
Yeah, you did.
So I got two more.
Oh, from boy.
A new series.
Great. Same people who do left in Korea? Did you take all of them?
I took them all. Went on eBay and went, "Dear Korea, sell me your toys."
Poor Korean children.
This is a new show called Biclons. So click that picture and tell me what you see, because there's a whole lot of messages kind of coming at you at once in that picture.
I see a couch because for some reason Skype doesn't scroll when new things are posted. So
Biclons is a show about couches.
Yeah, it's a red couch.
Robots.
Okay, so what am I looking at?
So that's a promo shot from Biclons, which is the show from which I bought two robots.
Okay.
So you're seeing robot animals.
Uh-huh.
You're seeing robots.
Yes.
And you're seeing kids on souped-up armored bicycles. Not motorbikes, but bicycles.
Yes, and they're in, like, black leotards.
Yeah, so this show seems to be about a team of Korean children and teenagers who armor up and fight evil on bicycles that armor up but are still pedal bicycles.
Uh-huh.
And they also have...
Well, they're kids. I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
they don't have driver's license.
Stay active. They also have access to four robotic animals that are based on constellations. There's Scorpio, Taurus, Aries, and Leo. And then those animals can turn, like, two of them turn into legs and two of them turn into an upper body, and you can swap the legs around between the two robots.
Uh-huh.
And that is the whole play pattern. So I got the four robot animals. And they're kind of cool. They're very Power Ranger-y, so they're not superposable or anything, but it's all about just a big, chunky, solid transformation, and they make noises when you combine them. The crazy thing is, you see how there's like one on the left and one on the right?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you can swap the legs between them, so it should all be pretty much on par with each other. The one on the left, those two are sold in a package, and they are great. They are a great, solid toy. Fun toy. It's a big robot scorpion and a bull. There's lots of, like, bicycle thematic detail on him, like his elbow joints are gear chains and stuff. The one on the right feels like it's a knockoff of the one on the left. The one on the right does not tab together very well. A lot of its clips don't feel as good. And I'm kind of astounded that it came out at the same time. It just feels like they did the one on the left and then were told you have to do the one on the right as well. And went like, oh crap, really? And then everything went kind of wrong. So it's really just the lion, the orange torso, that's the big problem with the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
But they are going to be putting out one more thing, Robot Bear, called Ursa. And then you can combine all five animals together into a big thing that looks kind of cool. I'll send you a picture of it. It's big and beefy and fat, and it's got a bull head for a foot, and I kind of dig it.
They should do a smaller bear that turns into, like, a weapon.
That'd be cool.
Also,
you could Ursa turn it into an arsenal. Ursa Minor. Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's two.
Yeah.
Big Dipper. Big Dipper, Little Dipper.
Oh, yeah.
Bears.
Hey, look, it's a picture of their gimmick. There's the torsos and the legs. Anyway, they're kind of cool. And I figured I should mention I got them.
Kind of cool, except for how the one is busted.
Yeah, the orange lion just is a really friggin' weak link. But the other three are good. The scorpion and the two best ones are sold together in a box. So if you think this Biclon stuff sounds cool or looks cool, you can just get the cool one on its own. You don't have to, like, pick and choose between two sets. Anyway, I also got, Seth, I got some Mega Blocks.
Mega what?
Mega Blocks! So, I talked a while ago about this Mega Blocks Halo police car. The new Mombasa Police Department. Which is a really fun word to say. So there's two other new Mombasa police sets, and I got both of them, and I built them, and so that picture doesn't have HTTP on the front, so how are you supposed to see it?
I could see the matrix.
There you go. You can click that one. So I got the police Cyclops mech and the police Hornet, which is the flying thing. Apparently those are all things from Halo, but they've all been recolored to be the new Mombasa Police Department. And I just really like Space Police, so I wanted to get these three sets.
Space Police.
They're really cool. Like, Mega Bloks quality is really good right now. Their bricks go together solid and have a lot of, like, proper, subtle swirl of color to them. It's three really cool sets. It comes with this new superposable minifigures, who are basically like the Call of Duty figures, but the proportions aren't as good, and they don't have the hardpoint gimmick, so you can't just attach weapons all over their bodies, but they pose pretty well. And I've just got all these, like, nameless, masked, new Mombasa police officers, and I kind of like it. As far as I know, I read on Halopedia, trying to figure out where these are from. Apparently these are kind of original. These were not in any of the games. And apparently the games that the new Mombasa Police Department are in, they don't really do much. So as far as I'm concerned, these are like the last survivors of the new Mombasa PD. And they're the cool guys.
Yeah, like in Reach. Like there's just like some police cars lying around.
Oh, this police car is the one that survived. It's the one that runs over brutes. There's like a brute guy on top of the Hornet up there in the picture.
Yeah, and like those mech things were, those were introduced in like Halo 4.
Okay. I thought this stuff all looked really cool in police colors.
Uh-huh.
But I'm really impressed by the current state of Mega Bloks. I kind of want to get this one more Halo set. I was looking at the new run of Halo sets. The only other one that does anything for me is this new version of the Elephant. It's some Halo troop carrier thing.
Yeah.
And so they put out an Elephant that looked apparently more like the one that's iconic, but it's old and it doesn't hold together very well because it's old Mega Bloks. So there's a new one that came out. I'll find you a picture of it. It's apparently the Halo Elephant from Halo Wars, which looks different.
Yeah, that was the RTS.
Yeah, here's a picture of it from the promo stuff. So it's a bit smaller, and it has this big cannon that folds out from inside of it. But it, apparently it's just way more solid. It's really playable. It's got a big space inside. You can put a mongoose in there and have it roll out. And it also comes with like six really cool looking minifigures. Carter and June and Medic and other guys. So I've seen this at my Toys R Us, and I feel like this would be a nice way to put a little cap on my Halo Mega Bloks thing, because this thing I could put all my other Halo Mega Bloks in, because I have the Mongoose, and it'll fit inside.
So in Halo 3, where they introduced the Elephant, and the level editor thing where you can make your own little multiplayer levels,
yeah,
there was one map that had two elephants, and I made some like custom stuff. Like did some customizing, and I named the level Dumbo. And then I invited some people in, like some people we know, into my game, and they're like, why is this level called Dumbo? I'm like, you'll wait and see. And so I found that if you pack the elephant with as many like fusion cores and exploding barrels as the game will let you generate,
yeah,
and then you you go into the settings for those, so You set them to respawn instantly after they're destroyed.
Yeah.
And you just fill the elephant with them. And then you, like, throw a grenade into the back of the elephant and set them off. They, as their chain reaction exploding, they're instantly respawning. So the chain reaction of explosions continues endlessly. And the elephant will start shaking. And then it'll start tipping over, and then it will eventually flip and then start bouncing around and then take to the air and then fly around the level exploding forever. And that's my favorite thing about the elephants.
I found a picture of the two elephant things next to each other. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, that older one is like what they look like in Halo 3.
Yeah. I looked up a comparison between the two, and the older one, like, it looks nicer, but that's it. Like, it doesn't do anything, and it falls apart really easy. So I might pick up the elephant sometime down the road. It's neat. And then also I got one other Megablocks
thing. Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, that's right.
I looked ahead.
Oh man, you flipped through my pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you see how I got the hidden blade into that one dude's neck?
Yeah.
I'm super proud of that. So the Assassin's Creed figures, their whole thing, so they're also, you know, superposable for Mega Bloks. They're more like the Halo figures and the Call of Duty figures, so they all kind of have the same kind of weird squat proportions the Halo ones have, which I wish that the Call of Duty proportions were spread across all of their stuff, not just the posability, but also just the slightly more human proportions. But the big thing about the Assassin's Creed figures is that they have this, like, new swappable system for the heads. So all of the heads are a bald head with facial hair painted on or not, and a big hole in the top of their head. And then you can swap the hair and the hats and the hoods around to whoever you want. And also to maintain like a uniform look, you see the little kind of Max, or not Max, the Fleischer Superman style like eye pupils, where his eyes are just a pair of little dots. Apparently, and I looked at it, it looks like this is the case. Those dots are not painted; they are drilled into the figure. So rather than trying to keep doing two little dots on a factory line with like a little dab of paint, it's just like there are holes molded into the head. So those are like uniform empty spaces that look like little eyeballs and are kind of creepy. But I dig it. Like, they're just doing a couple sets. I just want to pick up the Ezio versions of stuff because they're doing pirate things and Ezio things. And I'm not all that close to the pirate side of Assassin's Creed. I just like the Ezio stuff. But they're cool. Like the pack I got, you get an assassin. I think it's just supposed to be like a random Brotherhood assassin. Uh-huh. And you get four Borgias to murder. And like the little red sash thing he has is this really soft plastic. It's kind of like squishy, gummy kind of plastic, and it's got slits in it, so you can like sheath his sword in his belt, like in the game. Also, like, the blocks feel good. I'm really impressed with what Mega Bloks is doing right now. The Lego still does better builds overall. Like, there's more creative builds, more impressive builds, with a slightly more limited palette of parts. But Mega Bloks is really pushing what they're doing, and they're, like, actively trying. Like, a lot of the stuff I've built lately, like the Mongoose and the Hornet, don't use a whole lot of giant pre-molded parts. Like, there is a lot of brick building going on, and it feels really good. They are definitely not the same Mega Bloks they were a couple years ago. And that's basically what I got this week. Seth, were you ever really into any of the video gamey Mega Bloks things?
I got a few of the, like, kind of more individual Halo figures, like when they blind packed them, or like there'd be a set of, like, oh, here's, like, a blister card of Covenant guys, but I never really got any big sets or anything.
Are you interested in all taking a look at the new body they're doing for the Spartans and the humans?
Yeah, because, you know, they made so many improvements with the Call of Duty one, so it might be worth checking out.
Yeah, there's a blind pack series out now, no named characters in it, as far as I know. It's just called Alpha Series. The bummer is that the Covenant figures, as far as I know, are still the old ones. So if you get blind bags, if you don't check codes or whatever, you might just end up with more Covenant guys who are the same as they always were.
Yeah. That would stink.
Yeah. And it really sticks out in some of these sets where you get both. Like the police car. Like, they even do call-outs. Like, there's a Flood set that came out, and there's a couple other sets where it's like, where you can see the figures inside on the box where there's like a window. Uh-huh. And they segment it, so it's like, here are four superposable new figures, and also four Covenant. And I'm like, man. It's like you're highlighting that four of the figures in this thing are old and outdated compared to the other four. But yeah, it's cool stuff. And I believe that's all that I got this week, so I think that we're roundabouts done with this recording. I got a YouTube link in here. Do I need to look at this right now?
No.
Okay, I'll look at it right afterwards. The audience will never know what it was. Ever. Oh, I like the look of this. Okay. Thanks for listening, everyone. That's been another episode of WTF TFW. Thank you, Seth, for coming by. And once again, congratulations on the successful so far move.
Thank you.
We'll be back again next week with some more of this. Just take a look at the calendar. What is next week? All right, next week should be Seth. Our next show might happen earlier in the week because that Thursday of that week, I'm going to be going to New York.
Okay.
So we might have to do things a bit earlier. We might have to have another emergency Tuesday podcast.
Oh. I'm more likely to be able to get off work at a reasonable time on Tuesdays.
Cool. So, yeah, a couple weeks, we've got New York Comic Con, and I'm heading over, and I'm looking forward to doing my weird, crazy thing I do. And I think, because I'm going to be there Thursday and Friday, hopefully I'll get all the stuff I want to do with a press badge done on Thursday and Friday, so I can actually just relax for Saturday and Sunday. And when I say relax on Saturday at New York Comic Con, that mostly means don't go to the convention center for much of the day on Saturday. Because that's when everyone shows up. But we'll see how that goes.
Go to a convention. Avoid the people.
Saturday at New York Comic Con gets borderline San Diego Comic Con. You know what I'm talking about. You haven't been, but you know what I'm talking about. Too many people. Can't deal with it. I'll talk to you guys later.
It means, but you got some badass perpetrators that are here to stay.